Disclaimer, if you are a parent and you generally listen to the Wednesday conversation with kids in the room, we are going to talk in this podcast about some things that relate to human sexuality and that are somewhat sensitive. And so this might be more of an earbud podcast than a in the minivan or in the living room kind of a podcast. So just want to give you a heads up on that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Cormdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about contraception. Again, part four.
Part four, it's live up in here. People keep wanting to ask questions about this.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast to
the Contraception Conversation Podcast.
Love it. We got Jen here again.
Hey guys.
Hi Jen.
Our friend Jen Newman jumping in to answer these questions. What are the questions, Mike? I think we're teeing up. You're teeing them up, right?
Yeah, guys. After our first couple of podcasts, we had some great feedback and great questions come in through email. People emailing us at podcast@cdomaha.com. Thank you for doing that. We wanted to tackle two questions that came in that I feel like are on maybe tackle two different life stages in which the majority of our listeners might be at. The first one came from a woman who is 24 years old, just married, and asking like, hey, me and my husband, we feel like kids. Should we be having kids? What should our mindset be as young marrieds? Are we ready to have kids? Should we have kids? And what's the best way to prevent that or not prevent that? So,
man, I got a little autobiography for you people now. All right. Oh. Here we go. Story time with Pastor Bob. I'm 42 years old. I'm like an old guy.
Settle in.
But I got married when I was 22. And so, man, I resonate with this because I was a young, you know, wide-eyed, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life guy at age 22. And Lee and I were, you know, we're going to wait 5 years. I mean, 5 years from now is an eternity, and we're still going to be in our 20s. We're not having kids anytime soon. We're going to wait. We're going to sort of get to know each other. We're going to figure out what we're doing with our lives. We'll have kids later. That was our mindset. And then we got pregnant with our son 12 months into marriage. And he was born, you know, 9 months after that. So within the first 2 years of marriage, we were parents. And I will tell you, when my wife told me, hey, I'm pregnant, I freaked out for a few days. Like, I had to, like, go hang with some friends and just say, like, what in the world? Like, I don't even know what to do with this because it was really life-altering. And so I can resonate with the heart behind that question in the sense of, like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing with my life. I'm not ready to raise a child or be responsible for a human being. I'm trying to figure out what it means to be married. So existential, I just want you to know, like, I've been in your shoes, even though I'm now an old, wise, seasoned father of four who knows all these wonderful things about being a parent. And I'm just kidding. So here's what I would say, though. We have to start. I want to answer your question theologically before I answer it existentially. Theologically speaking, if you are married, you are ready to have children and need to be. You should not get married unless you realize, hey, part of what comes with marriage is the possibility of parenthood. And I think our culture wants to reinforce this narrative that, like, well, getting married is sort of about you and about what you want. And then, like, when you want kids sometime in the future, then you can just flip that switch on and then you start thinking about having kids. And we've so separated marriage and child raising or childbearing that we think of them in separate categories, but that's not how they're supposed to be biblically. Biblically, it's like, man, if you're married, guess what comes with that? You might get pregnant and become a mom and a dad. And that's a good thing. Now, is it still okay to wonder, gosh, I don't know if I'm ready for that? Of course it is. Like, existentially, all the angst and all the questions surrounding that aren't going to go away. But theologically, we should not separate the possibility of parenthood from marriage. That's very much what marriage is about, is bringing a family together, a mom and a dad, who have the capacity, perhaps, to raise children. That doesn't mean they're going to in every case, but that should be seen as an inevitable result of marriage.
Yeah, I feel like, man, me and my wife, she was 19, I was 21 when we were married. You too, Dustin?
Dang, you were younger than me.
Well, I was 20. My babies. Wife was 21. But yeah, babies. Basically young, yeah. And yeah. Ridiculous.
What are you guys doing getting married that young, man?
We were homeschooled, man.
I'm all public school, all the way. Not proud of it.
But like, we had lots of conversations about how many kids we wanted to have, you know, we were on the same page getting married, but even when we found out we were pregnant, it was just like, holy crap, like this is intense. And so like, even if you're, even if you think you're ready to have kids, you're it's not. Still intense, you know, yeah. And you don't feel ready, but, yeah, having those conversations early on, Jen, you talked about last week, you and Ryan were talking about not just having kids, but how you were going to prevent having kids and being ready to have kids and all that before you're even married. And mm-hmm. so having those conversations early on is super helpful, I think, in just preparing for that time of, you know, having kids.
Yeah. And I'm even wondering that, like, if there's another part of this question of maybe we're not even financially ready to have kids. And I feel like that's a big part for young married couples is wondering, what does it look like to be financially ready? And I mean, yeah. we're pregnant right now and I'm still like, what does it look like to be financially ready?
Yeah, so, you're never financially
you're
ready.
Never really ready.
And this is what I, like, pastorally, I mean, I haven't had this conversation with anyone, but when I was thinking about this question pastorally, I wonder if I want to shift the ground a little bit, because what you bring up, Jen, a couple in a situation where they think financially or circumstantially we're not stable, and so they may begin to think it would be wrong to have kids.
Or would it be wise?
Right, right. Right. And so I think there's one sense where, yeah, have that conversation about thinking through, okay, if we don't change certain circumstances, it may make it more difficult. But I'm having a hard time thinking through if you're a married couple, when having kids, you know, all things being equal, would ever be wrong. And so that's, you know, even maybe trying to pull back that category a little bit from folks and say, hey, look, yeah, it might be more difficult in some circumstances, whether, you know, financial or different things, but the fact that marriage and child rearing are intimately connected means that it's not wrong. You know, there might be some challenges. So I don't know, guys, what you think, like pastorally, like I even want to think maybe as I was thinking about this, I want to walk people back a little bit from putting it in that category in order to get them to see that, hey, look, if you do end up having kids, guess what's going to be there? A lot of grace. Like God is going to give you the grace because it's actually the right thing. It's like actually you're doing what marriage was intended to do. And so God is going to bless that and give you grace for that, even if the circumstances are challenging. So,
Chris, I love how you think on this stuff, and I even don't like the use of the word risk. Like kids are, should we risk getting pregnant and having kids? Children are a blessing, and the Bible demands that we see children as a blessing. And so let's not talk about childbearing as a risk, even though I get where that language comes from, and I know how it feels existentially. You feel like, I'm not ready for this. But man, children are always a blessing. Let's receive them as such, and let's even think about the possibility of them as such.
Yeah, having kids was one of the most sanctifying things that happened in my life. Like I was 22, 23 years old when we had Alina, our first child. And it made me get off my butt because there was like a heavy load that was put on me. And so as a man, it felt risky, it felt scary, but it like propelled me into like, okay, this marriage thing, this being a dad thing, this being a Christian, this being a disciple thing, like this has some weight to it now. And I've got to get my game on.
So if you're married, you should be okay with the potential of having children, and you should see them as a blessing. And as we've stated in earlier podcasts, we also don't see it as prescriptive, right? So there's other ways. So one way to say it, I think, would be to say, you should be okay with having kids. Doesn't mean you have to right away, but if you're not going to, then you need to do so in a biblical way and with a clear conscience before the Lord.
And maybe not make the highest priority prevention.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that. So
what do you mean by that, Chris? Go further.
Well, just that can become sort of the controlling factor of decision making and how we're gonna live our lives, the decisions we're gonna make is so there needs to be a sense where this is not the thing that controls all of the decisions and the controlling value for everything. So that to me, that's where you get where wisdom becomes folly to, you know, to go back to what you said, Jen, where wisdom recognizes, yeah, maybe we need to get certain circumstances in order, and we'll do that now. And if we happen to have kids, well, there's grace for that. Where it becomes folly is where, man, all my decisions about kids are controlled by this one thing. And mm-hmm. then it just becomes about that.
Almost than, living in a state of fear of conceiving a kid, which would be just so sad and a hard place to be.
It's interesting to think pastorally too, as I'm reflecting over here, I think about the conversations I've had with lots of couples about this, you know, like, well, we don't want to have kids because we want to, and then they fill in the blank, and it's usually not
travel.
Godly. Yeah, it's usually travel, and we want to get to know each other a little bit more, and it's you know, to be more blunt or frank, it's actually usually selfish desire. And so it's interesting to think about marriage should be selfless, and then the possibility of children will reveal your selfishness as well, right? So you have to get outside of yourself to take care of another person. You have to get outside of yourself to take care of children and offspring. And so I'm sure that there are some good and godly reasons to not have children. We've had conversations with people like that, but mostly it comes from a selfish motive to not.
No one ever feels ready to have kids. No one ever feels like, oh, it's the perfect time for me to start a family. Like, because I got all this money in the bank and because I have the, you know, like, oh, everything's all paid
off. We're so settled.
That's never the reality. And so don't live for that false ideal that says I'm going to get to this place where we're going to feel ready to have kids. Yeah. No, you're not. You're never going to feel like, I guarantee you're going to feel overwhelmed about the reality of welcoming a human being into the world and being responsible for their entire shaping and, right, raising. Yeah. You're there right now.
Yeah, and I'll even say, like, we are pregnant before we had planned on it. And it was because God said, like, you need to stop preventing. And so that was really scary to feel like we were, I remember sitting down with Dusty and he said, I think the question you need to ask is, are you being disobedient by preventing pregnancy right now? And I felt like, yeah, like, I feel like we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us and saying, I think it's time now where it was not in our plan. Like, my husband won't be done with school. We don't have a house. And there are things that I would prefer to have set up to feel safe. But throughout the whole pregnancy and what's coming down the pipeline, the Lord is just saying, trust me and I will provide. And this child is a blessing. And we're really looking forward to it.
So don't take what I'm about to say as helpful pastoral counsel, but this is just a thought that occurred to me, is with marriage, how often does a couple think, hey, we might not be ready, but we want to do this and we're going to jump in and it might be crazy, but even maybe against counsel. And so there's almost, you know, they'll roll the dice, they'll take the risk, whatever. And, but when it comes to kid, it's all of a sudden, oh, slow your roll, you know, kind of thing, to where so again, this isn't necessarily helpful pastoral counsel, but I'm almost like kind of pushing on this. Why are we so open to the idea of jumping in, quote unquote, to marriage before we think all of our ducks are in a row, but with kids?
Ooh.
That's a whole
Ooh,
other story.
Chris.
Dang.
So
you went from preaching to meddling right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Just a thought.
We'll just let that question hang in the ether.
Yeah, put that
just
in your earbuds.
Think about that.
Here's a final interesting fact about this. Sociologists have done research, and here's what it shows. The more children a man has, the more money that man makes. Why do you think that's the case?
Mike's making it rain over there.
It's certainly not because rich people are the only ones who have lots of children. It's because the more kids you have, the more you realize, gosh, I need to provide, right? Mm-hmm. So the having of children forces you to grow up, to create earning potential. And sociologists are fascinated by this data because what it shows is men especially really do live into responsibility rather than sort of get everything figured out and then take on responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important thing to remember, especially if you're young and feeling like, man, we're not ready for kids. Well, look, kids are going to grow you up in good ways, in the right ways.
Yep. That's really good. That's real good. Especially if you're a dude listening, especially if you're young and newly married, or you're single and dating, or you're anticipating marriage. Women grow up with this desire. Young girls grow up with this desire that someday they're going to have children. They think, they dream about these things, or they tend to. And men are usually like, man, sure, but I'm a little freaked out. So that's really good to just lean into responsibility.
You want to tackle the second question, Mike?
Yeah. So we're talking about young married, singles, contemplating marriage and kids. Let's go to the other end of life. Our question comes from another listener. He's expressing that his, you know, they've got multiple kids, 4, 5, 6 kids. God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. When when your wife is feeling the stress of, one, the body giving birth to 5 or 6 kids, and then also feeling the mental stress of being home with 5 or 6 kids, and mom and dad feeling the pressures of discipling all those kids, when is it wise to maybe stop having kids? And what's a gospel-centered way to approach that conversation, to approach that decision without feeling like you're in disobedience to God's command?
I was just going to say, this is a hard question because it's just so... It's hard to get out of the cultural blinders on this one. I think it's a great question. It's just hard. It's hard to know. Like, I feel that tension very deeply of like, what, how do I know if I'm rightly drawing a close to this period of my life or not? And that's a perplexing question. You've been there, Dusty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, number one, you can't make these decisions in isolation. So yeah,
preach that.
You have to bring people into these decisions. You have to go real slow. And I would even say you could also possibly slow down the rate in which you're having children. If fertility is not a struggle in your situation, you could also slow down the rate in which you're having children. But I think it's wise to take into consideration the physical health, the emotional health, my marital communication, all of those things, when it comes to a couple who can have lots of children. JC and I have faced this. We have 6 kids. Our plan is to be done at 6 children. And the reason why is because we want to, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, we take family pretty seriously. We take discipleship pretty seriously. And I feel like having 6 children that I'm primarily responsible for, the discipleship of, the formation of, seems like a lot. Seems like enough is what I should say. Not too much, but it feels like, man, I really got to trust the Lord outside of myself to just do this well. Mm-hmm. So at some point, I am of the position that you can have too many children. And so, yeah, that would be an interesting thing to unpack. But
how did you and your wife end up there? I imagine that those weren't like quick decisions, you know, quick conversations. Like, bring us into that if you can.
Yeah, part of it's health, just physical health, limitation. So, you know, there's some that would say like, well, as long as you're fertile, you should have children. Mm-hmm. Well, or until the Lord decides that you're not going to have them anymore. I would just say there's also a wisdom issue here. And so like there's physical health reasons. You're also getting older. You're having younger children at an older age. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be able to disciple all of our children into those different stages of life. So we have a 2-year-old and we have a teenager, you know? And so like, we want to be able to engage each level pretty intentionally. And for those of you who know me, I try to do that with a lot of diligence. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we reached that decision of just how much is too much and can we effectively make disciples out of all these people in the way that we think the Lord has convicted us to do so.
So what I hear you saying, Dusty, is that it's okay to admit capacity, like to basically say, I recognize my own limitations in deciding this. And it's okay to say, hey, 6, 5, 4, 3, whatever the number is, to say, okay, I think this is all by faith. I think the Lord has given me capacity for.
Yeah. And those are some hard conversations because it's humbling.
Yeah, well, here's my pushback.
Yeah.
What if my capacity is 1 or 2? Because, man, I got to be able to have a 401k and a college fund for all of them and set them up for life. And, like, if I'm evaluating capacity not based on health or discipleship, but based on, well, gosh, it costs a lot of money to have kids, and I kind of feel like this is my limit.
Yeah.
Because that's where it gets challenging to me to just start having questions about, like, well, if we're saying it's okay to set your capacity, how do you go through that and sort that out?
Yeah, it becomes really subjective.
Yeah, totally. Everybody's got a different capacity, and everybody has different desires that inform that capacity, too.
So are there biblical desires to help give us foundations for to have the right capacity or to have the right, you know, perspective on those things?
This is the funny thing is, like, there needs to be freedom here, right? Like, there's Christian freedom. Each person is going to answer to God for their own life. And so I want to stop short of being like prescriptive, like, well, here's how many kids you should have, or every Christian should think about their family this way. But I do also think our culture also presses us to think differently about capacity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the, even like, quote unquote, Christian wisdom, it's sort of like, well, gosh, you got to have to put all these kids through college. And so you better have $100,000 saved up for each of your kids. And you start thinking about that at age 25, you're like, well, I guess I'm having a kid because yeah. it's going to take me a while to save 100 grand.
Yeah. Is there a way to have 0.5 kids?
Yeah.
So that's all. I'm trying to honor the freedom aspect and the reality of mm-hmm. capacity, but also ask the question of like, yeah, what are the biblical principles by which we should think through these things?
Well, I think it goes back to what you said, Dusty, is that you can't make these decisions in isolation. You have to bring other perspectives in, don't just bring your peers who are in the same life stage as you, bring older, wiser people who maybe have a handful of kids already and that you can learn from their perspective and, just get outside insight into your life rather than just what you see right in front of you.
Jen, do you have thoughts here from a doula perspective on like, as we think about a woman's body and her capacity to bear children, what are the factors that women need to consider on just, you know, it's interesting to me to think about like, right, a woman's body does like pregnancy and childbirth demands a lot of a woman's body and do that 4 or 5 times. You know, you can easily see the cost of that and the way that affects the body. Do you feel like from your understanding, and is that, how big a factor should that be as a husband and wife think about their ongoing capacity to have a family?
I mean, I think it can differ from woman to woman. I mean, we have friends and who their fourth pregnancy is really, really hard and have decided, oh gosh, I cannot handle being pregnant anymore. And I have peers who are 1 of 10. And so clearly their mom was able to handle being pregnant that many times. As a woman grows older, there is an age at which she should consider, would it be wise to continue to conceive? Because there are things that could go wrong in pregnancy. There's a higher rate of my child having this sort of disorder or having something else that could go wrong. Those are a couple of things that come to mind.
Guys, help me think about God's command to be fruitful and multiply. If and when you decide as a married couple to not have kids anymore, does that mean you're not obeying that command? Or is there a way to continue to obey that command and it's not necessarily in procreation?
I don't think we can say to obey that command means you're having as many kids as is humanly possible until you can't have them. I mean, that's how our great-grandparents would have looked at it. That my great-grandfather had 10 children mm-hmm. because they didn't have any methods of birth control other than natural methods. And they didn't, you know, they saw children as a blessing and it was just like, well, we get pregnant. But I don't think we can see that command, Mike, as like I'm disobeying it if I decide, gosh, at this point, my family is full and I need to make a decision about sort of moving into the next season of, you know, I need to make a decision to choose not to conceive. It seems to me that there's Christian freedom there and that I'm not disobedient to that command by choosing not to have children. I think there's, the reason I'm hesitant to say that is because I think there's people who would disagree with that and thoughtful people who would disagree with that. So I want to honor that.
I think if you're telling husbands and wives, have children for as long as you're fertile, that becomes prescriptive. Yeah. And no, there's no option of, okay, so what is wise for yes. our situation? And that comes back to Dusty saying, don't make that decision in isolation. Yeah. Like you're working through the nuances of your family and what would be wise.
It seems to me if we're going to ask the question of capacity, we want to be careful not to base that on the idol of comfort, mm-hmm. right? Like I think there's honest capacity of just like, man, here's the limit that we have as far as what we're called to do. And then there's also sort of like, well, it seems like it would be harder if we had more kids. And so I don't want to have more kids because it might make me get a bigger van and I don't want to, you know, I couldn't drive a, you know, VW Bug anymore, whatever. And so it seems to me like there's some biblical principles here to say, I need to honor children as a blessing and welcome them. I need to see a large family as a good and noble thing, right? In general, having a good number of kids, I think, is incumbent upon Christians. And Christians have always thought that way. I mean, if you look at church history, there's always been this sense of, gosh, we ought to be, part of how we fill the world with Christians is by actually raising them ourselves, not just by leading them to Christ in evangelism. So welcoming the idea of a large family, but also honoring the reality of capacity and saying, man, there's going to come a time when, based on emotional or physical realities or the place we feel like we are, it's okay to ask the question, okay, is our, you know, to use the sort of parlance, is our quiver full? You know, is this where the Lord wants us to stop? Mm. And Dusty, I can't affirm enough the whole reality of community in that. I mean, we could even talk about, like, these are, as elders, man, we've had these conversations for years of just mm-hmm. like, hey, help me and my wife think through this. Like, I remember really deep conversations we've had in some of those seasons of just, hey, help us think about, should we have another kid or not? And here's the pros and cons, and here's the medical and physical realities. And so it's been fun to feel like, yeah, we want to process that stuff in community and with one another in ways that really honor the Bible's teaching and also honor the realities of our context. Mm. I guess I want to reiterate something else you said, Dusty, which is to go slow in this decision. Because I know people who thought they were done having kids and then realized, oh man, we actually miss having kids, you know? And so to make any sort of permanent, final sorts of decisions and decide you're moving on to the next season in life, I think that needs to be a slow decision. Because I do think as Christians, man, we want to... here's what I like about you, Dusty, is you guys have six kids, and I know you get weird looks at Costco, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, we live in a culture that, like, if you have a big family, you're just, like, weird and, like, an outsider, and, like, you must be a Mormon or something.
What do
you
drive?
Know? And so I just want, like, I kind of want Christians to lean into that and say, yeah, guess what? We got some kids, and we love them, and we're trying to honor the Lord in raising them, and we're not ashamed of that, and we're not afraid of that, and we're not shrinking back from that. The wisdom of sort of going slow here and being real thoughtful and patient and prayerful and having good conversation before you decide you're done having kids, I think is wise, you know.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. That's going to do it for this week's conversation, and we hope that you join us next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.